This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Eric Stokeby Fourth Generation, Missouri Meerschaum, and the Scandinavian Tobacco Group. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
Good evening.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, man. Enjoying my my hand-carved Jocano here with the little luxury navy flake. And man, just had a great Monday. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. So what are you up to?
Man, you know, it's been a busy day. It's this last past week in particular was a really busy week. But yeah, it's a good day. You know,
I've been getting after it.
I have been getting after it. I you know, it just doesn't stop, man. It doesn't stop. I need a vacation.
Your family isn't growing anymore, is it?
No.
Yet?
Let's hope not.
Is there anything you haven't told me?
no, let's hope
I
not.
I think I did see your wife drink a glass of wine the other day. So
yeah,
that's
always a good indication. Always a good indication. No,
there's just a lot going on in the York household.
Man, there's a lot going on in the Cole household.
Even in the Cole household. We talked a little bit before, you know, about the show. You know, you're clan, the Yorkist crew, y'all got some really nice places in Great Britain named after you, and the Cole family, we got a slaw, which is highly recommended, and a nursery rhyme,
which
has a pipe featured in it,
honestly,
and we've actually
rhyme,
never talked about that.
It honestly, old King Cole, it honestly,
I mean, let's be honest,
that needs
this to
be an episode unto itself.
I think maybe
we need to do some historical research.
He has a pipe, a bowl, and some fiddlers.
Would I be the fiddlers?
Three fiddlers?
I'd be one of the fiddlers.
Yeah, you look like a fiddler.
I'll take it. I'll take it. Look, I wish I could play the fiddle. I wish I could play any musical instrument.
I wish I could play the fiddle.
Look, we've got some great great folks. Thanks, everybody who's tuning in live right now at CountrySquireRadio.com. We do it every Monday. We really appreciate you guys for tuning in live. Loving getting all the tweets in. Here we are, doing things up a little bit late. We got a lot of a lot of flack, as usual, for being...
No, but we've kind of... I don't know. We've kind of transitioned this to a...
Ish
thing, right?
Yeah.
Like people know when they're dealing with me, the shop opens at 10 o'clock ish.
Right.
Right. And it's, so, and Country Squire Radio, we come on, you know, you get to do the, what do you call it? The Periscope beforehand.
Yeah, we did a Periscope tonight. Yeah, that's right.
And then we do that. That kind of builds up. You get some tweet action back and forth. And then the show starts somewhere between, you know, 6:30 and 6:45 central time.
Look, man, it's all part of it. Can I make mention of something that has nothing to do with pipes before we get started?
Yeah, you're about to.
I mean, you know, that's kind of why I'm here. This is really sad. Eric, and I'm going to butcher this man's name. Eric Barsfield passed away.
Okay.
Now, this is a crucial actor into the Star Wars series.
Oh, is that who I think that is? Wow.
He actually, and this is interesting because I didn't know this. I knew that he portrayed Admiral Ackbar. Mm-hmm. It's a trap. But what I did not realize is that he was also Bib Fortuna, which is Jabba the Hutt's like...
Yeah, that's the guy with the huge tentacles wrapped around his head.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Do you have an impression of that little monkey thing that sat by Jabba? Pretty good too.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. So he was the one with the weird colored eyes that like kind of translated, I think,
for
Jabba the Hutt. Is that right?
Oh gosh.
Stood next to him.
I could actually, back in the day, I could quote that whole back and forth that he did with Luke Skywalker when Luke shows up at Jabba's palace and uses the Jedi mind trick.
Man,
you will
really
take me to Jabba now. Take you to Jabba now. Like he's got that whole... Anyway, he passed away. I actually just saw that before we went live, so I got to mention it. But we mentioned Star Wars enough on the show that I feel like it's worthwhile.
We do. That's great.
To mention that. But yeah.
Jabba the Hutt, pipe smoker.
Yeah, hookah. I mean, do we qualify that as a pipe?
Not really.
You know, April Fools came and went. I even, you know, in the past
Do we acknowledge that?
Well, in the past we've done things like tell people we're going to rename the show. We 1 year, I think we actually did this 2 years in a row. We said that it was going to be called, what was it? City Night Television.
So City Night Television.
City Night Television. Yeah. So the exact opposite of Country Squire Radio.
And, you know, it's something where like we could put out a tweet that like, you know, you've become a cigarette smoker.
Yeah.
You know.
I need to go back. No, I'm not going to do that. But I think we did say that we were going to become a cigar show dealing exclusively in Arminian theology or something of that nature.
That's got some legs.
Yeah, it was funny. but I can find a picture of it, retweet it out. But we didn't do anything this year. I did not have the energy. Like, I've never been more busy in my life, and it kills me because, like, there's so much fun you can have on April. Did you stay off the internet for April 1st?
You know, I kind of do, anyway, I don't know. I just didn't do a lot of surfing that day, I guess. But yeah, a few things I saw after the fact, you know, people playing these videos went viral on the internet, and folks doing these, you know, April Fool's jokes. And like, I've kind of gotten to the point where I feel like some of that's kind of cruel, you know? Like, I mean, what do you really want to, you know, make your wife think that you kicked your baby off the balcony kind of thing? Like, I don't know, man.
There's some
like,
messed up stuff there.
Yeah, like, how about we just, you know, I don't know, put toothpaste in the chocolate mint or something. I don't know.
I did see somebody make some meme or something about how April 1st is the only day in which people consider whether, like, think before sharing of whether or not it's true. You know, things they found on the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
And from that standpoint, maybe more days should be more like April 1st.
It's true. I will say one of our customers was born on April 1st, April Fool's Day. He's 23.
Yeah.
And when his parents called all the this is a true story. When his parents called all the family members to let them know, no one came to the hospital.
Oh man,
isn't that tragic?
That's terrible.
It's so awful.
And they still have issues to this day.
And they still to this day. It's like, well, I'm here. Poor guy.
Man, this is our first episode in April.
You mean this April?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah. Not April, period.
But no.
Yeah,
this is our first
episode for April 2016.
Well, it means something because at the end of April, we're vacating this city and state and going up to Chicago.
Yeah, man, that's right.
Chicago Pipe Show, baby.
It's coming up soon.
Yes, ow! It's going to be a lot of fun, guys. We're really excited for it. So if you have not yet gotten your ticket, why? What's wrong with you? Get on that. We've already gotten some great response from folks messaging on Facebook and tweeting in saying they want to meet up. So, guys, we're really looking forward to meeting you. We will have a presence there. It'll be a presence on which you'll be able to find us.
Yeah.
And actually, I was actually getting some pointers earlier today from Brian Levine, good friend from Pipes Magazine.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of pointing out from his experience, just some different thoughts on how best to go around gathering audio, which I'm really looking forward to. But can I tell you something about Brian Levine?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, Brian, we like Brian.
There's lots to say about Brian.
There's lots to say about Brian. We like Brian a lot.
He's a good friend. A
couple episodes back, we made some jokes about possibly busting into his room. And I don't remember the context, but we said we'd possibly go into his room and like shower it with roses.
Yeah, I think we were talking. There was some jest going on, but the concept of, you know, breaking to his room and kind of, you know, doing some insulting things or something. I don't know.
Well, Brian,
but there may have been roses involved, and I, you know, I don't know where it went.
I'll tell you where.
But this has kind of taken a life of its own, right?
Brian, you know, he went on his wonderful show, the Pipes Magazine Radio, and you know, he made some comments. Man, he said, of course, we'd be able to bust into his room. We're short enough to sneak under the door. And then he proceeded.
If only it weren't true.
He proceeded, ladies and gentlemen, to say that you know, he warned me specifically because the last time a York had anything to do with any kind of attack dealing in roses.
Right.
It did not turn out very well.
It didn't turn out too well.
Now, I got to tell you.
It's pretty quick, but
I got to tell you.
You got to be honest.
No, that was good. That was good.
That was solid.
You got to give it to him for that one. But anyway, so now I don't know, man.
I don't know. Do I retweet this photo that
the bed
he sent
I think I already retweeted
of a like king-size bed with lots and lots of candles and red roses, like on top of it. I don't know.
Was that what we were? I don't know that that was what we were.
I don't think we were going for that. But as soon as it came out of your mouth, I was like,
you know what we should do? I bet we could probably call the hotel, find out where he's staying, tell him, no, you don't understand. This is a honeymoon situation. Y'all go crazy, and then we'll send him the bill for it.
We will. Somehow I don't think he'd pay it. No, but you never know. So. Yeah, you never know.
But yeah, no, man. We're looking forward to it. Brian, of course, will be there. We'll be there. Chicago, if you're not going to be there, you absolutely should. April 30th and May 1st. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm so stoked for it. It's going to be a great time. You know, we also mentioned last week that we've been gathering up some information from you guys in terms of where everybody's from. If you haven't gone over to the Country Squire Radio Facebook page and sounded off letting people know where you're from, you need to do that. But more importantly, I would encourage you to actually comb through the list of names that are already there.
It's now pretty amazing.
Put your name on there as well, because we want to make sure that people can kind of connect with each other.
Yeah.
But find other folks from your locale. We've got people from all around. I think at this point we've touched every single one of the 50 states in these United States. We've got other countries on there. I mean, it's kind
of
crazy.
It's
guys,
been a lot of fun to see people connect, you know, folks and, you know, listeners and pipe enthusiasts in the same locale that you didn't even know Didn't even know we're there.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been great.
It's going to be a good one. Guys, we've got a great show for you planned tonight. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about beginner's guide, to carving pipes and how to kind of jump into that. But first, we've got something huge to share with
you.
Yeah,
I'm so excited, man.
You've been in the tobacco industry for quite some time.
Yeah.
And we've been podcasting about pipes and pipe tobacco for quite some time. And never in my wildest dreams would I be telling you that I think we would be telling you that we've got the sponsor that we've got for you guys tonight.
That's pretty great.
We've got a new sponsor for this episode here at the top of the episode. Really excited about this, guys. Eric Stokeby, fourth generation.
That's right, man. That's right. We're so happy to have him on board. And of course, Eric, being a Stokeby comes from such a heritage in the tobacco industry.
Huge.
Just fine Danish tobaccos going back literally generations, and just a whole bevy of products that we're obviously proud to support and get behind. And we're really, really happy to have Eric and the fourth generation on board.
Can I tell you, because you mentioned this and this is true, but they are the family has had such an impact on the industry.
Yeah.
That as a beginner coming into it, you keep on seeing Stokeby pop up here and there, and you think, man, is Stokeby like the Smith of the pipe industry?
Yeah.
But no. This is a legacy. This is actually a lineage. And in fact, our fourth generation tobacconist is all about that. Tonight, we actually want to tell you about some products he's got going on right now that we really encourage you to go check out. And that's part of the 1855 series.
I call this like a Danish billiard. Some people might call it an egg, but it's a bent pipe that has just a real generous bowl on it. Think of a Danish twist on a classic billiard shape that's got a deep bend on it.
And it's a gorgeous pipe. They're all handcrafted with just this extremely fine briar from Denmark. Every single one of those pipes comes with their own leather pouch, which is really cool. They all come in four different styles.
Yeah.
And I how would you describe those different styles?
Yeah, you've got a dark porter, a mature orange finish, a vintage natural finish, and a burnt sienna. And it's just a nice variety. They each kind of stand out in their own way. The nice thing about particularly the dark porter is the ring grain that gets exposed from the sandblasting it goes under. And also, Eric has done some contrast stain on some of these pipes as well. So you get some real nice, kind of darker undertones with just a lighter color finish on top. On the smooth finishes.
Yeah. Gorgeous products. And the great thing is about Eric Stokeby fourth generation that not only are they building out, or not only has he handcrafted these unique pipes to represent that year 1855, but he also has a blend to go right along with it. It's a ready rub blend with exceptional mature Virginia tobaccos, characteristics of natural sweet Virginia taste and a pleasant aroma. And so the great thing is that when you pick up one of these handcrafted beautiful pipes, you got the tobacco right there along with it. So be sure to check them out. Fourth generation, our fourthgentobacco.com. We'll have a link to it directly in the show notes, as well as some images that we'll be sharing out on Facebook this week. I mean, these pipes they're gorgeous.
They're really pretty. Yeah.
What a great sponsor to have in terms of somebody who's handcrafting pipes to jump into this particular topic, man.
Absolutely, yeah.
We're talking about if you out there, and many of you have thought about possibly carving your own pipes, not all of us are connected with large manufacturing companies, nor are all
That's
of
right.
us, particularly all that handy.
Yeah. That's right. I have, trouble putting together something from IKEA.
That's a whole nother problem.
That is. A lot of folks are interested in, pipe smoking, that are interested in pipe smoking, have kind of determined that it's almost another rite of passage to make their own pipe. This is something that a lot of folks at some point during their pipe, experience want to go through it, the process of making their own. So we thought we'd have an episode on pipe carving for beginners, just kind of a general, how I always like to say, a 30,000 foot view of that,
yes, sir.
That kind of just what does pipe carving for beginners look like? Is it something that you can take up, or how might you even go about that? What are your options? And and particularly from two people like you and I that I don't think I will offend you by saying this, but sometimes we even wonder what end of the hammer to use. occasionally. I think it might be good just to kind of take it from a step back and kind of have a 101.
What I found is interesting, and we even covered this a little bit back in our pipe culture series on craftsmanship, but there is actually a good percentage of pipe smokers out there who come to this specifically with the intention of carving their own pipe.
That's right.
And that they want that to be their first ever pipe.
That's right. We get that a lot. And folks will, new smokers that like you said, haven't even smoked before, will come in the shop and they'll be like, I want to make my own pipe. And I think because of that, I'm going to try pipe smoking. Right. It's kind of this interesting backwards thing. You know, it's not like I want to try pipe smoking, but the romanticism of carving their own smoking instrument, like that's the work of art. That's kind of the first thing that comes into play. And then the smoking of the pipe actually comes later, and they get more into it. So you kind of got this, this interesting, thing that you can pursue. I've never done it. You've never done it either.
I mean, you know, yes and no. So I've never really officially done it, with anything other than a corn cob.
Okay.
But
okay.
I have messed around with a corn cob. Yeah. And I did hollow it out, and I did carve out a bowl and then carve it out. I never actually used it.
Where'd you get your corn cob?
Well, I ate corn.
Yeah, right.
And when you're done, right. You got a corn cob.
Okay. So it's just like, I guess what I'm saying, like you didn't, no special corn cob. You just
it
like
just dried
you,
out. No, no,
you
no.
went to the Piggly Wiggly and got some corn cobs, your corn, and then like you know ate it or whatever, and then that was your cob.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's go with that because the truth is more disgusting than that. So yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
I'll put it this way. I was inspired by watching somebody else do this at Celtic Fest.
Yeah.
One year.
Yeah.
And the Celtic Fest actually occurs here at our agricultural museum. So somebody found a leftover corn cob that was like leftover from the horses eating it.
Oh, you know what I mean? Foul.
And it's just left there in the field. And they just picked it up because it was already naturally dried out and started, you know, carving right into it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'll just say that was the inspiration for what I did. Let's move on.
Okay, great. Well, I think having kind of gone there, I think the first thing is, you know, if you're thinking about carving a pipe, you want to kind of pick your medium. Are you going to go with a briar pipe or generally a wooden pipe, or do you want to use, some type of corn cob? Corn cobs are different. A lot of the cobs are going to be too small to make a pipe out of. And so you kind of have to be careful on that. I believe if I'm correct, Missouri Meerschaum, our friends there, good friends of the show, they actually have a certain strain of corn mm-hmm. that they use to make the cobs. And so, you know, you may find something very particular that you want to do or just take your random, Piggly Wiggly ear of corn and see where luck takes you. Where the pig takes you.
You're like one street over from a competitor of Piggly Wiggly, and yet you mentioned Piggly Wiggly twice on this.
No one knows what McDade's is.
Okay, fair
it's
enough.
Piggly Wiggly. It gives all me right, an excuse right. to say Piggly Wiggly on on international radio. Like, why would I not?
All right, fair enough.
I have a t-shirt that on the front of it, it's the head of a pig, and it says Piggly, and on the back of it, it's got the little tail of the pig.
Did Warner Brothers ever sue them for likeness rights?
And it says Wiggly.
I always wondered about that. We're getting way off topic.
Yeah, okay. So choose your medium. For the sake of this show, we're going to stick with briar in general. And the fun part here, obviously, is for the people like you and me, Bo, that don't use tools on a real regular basis. The industry has kind of made it an easy place to start. And
yes.
That is with a pre-drilled hobby block. And so you've got these, they call them hobby blocks. And typically it's briar. They'll say like Italian briar. And, they may cost anywhere from $25 to $40, just depending on the size of the block and all these things. But imagine if you can visualize in your head a chunk of wood that's briar, and it's already pre-drilled. Okay. So the chamber of the pipe where you put the tobacco and the airway and mortise of the pipe where the stem plugs in are already drilled. And then typically these pipes come with a pre-fit stem that already fits that drilling.
Yeah. If you're holding a pipe, I mean, it's the pipe that you've got, except it's a big giant cube.
Yeah, that's right.
With the vulcanite stem sticking out.
It's already drilled and ready to go. So, and what's fascinating is that pipe from day one, as soon as you purchase that pipe, is functional. That's a already functional
yeah.
pipe. And we have actually had people that have bought hobby blocks here at the Country Squire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might pay, $30 for one or whatever, but then they don't do anything with it. They just smoke it as a chunk.
Yeah, when you say functional, I mean like
it's a functional pipe.
You could put tobacco in it and light it on fire, but you can't
right.
really hold that thing with any comfort.
No, I didn't say anything about comfort level, but it is a functional pipe. And so hobby blocks are really popular for folks that just want to kind of dabble in it, particularly for folks that don't have a lot of tools. And I would really, if you're not someone that's got a shop or real familiar with using, different tools, this is probably the place for you to start. They're not particularly expensive, although, when you think of briar for a block of wood that's been drilled a couple times, like,
mm-hmm.
$25, $30, $40, I mean, that's not cheap for a block of wood, but you got to think that, briar, this is the root of a tree that is not even worth harvesting until the tree's about 50, almost 50 years old.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just the time that goes into that, the scarcity, and we've talked on the show before about the difficulty of harvesting briars. So it's a relatively expensive wood. But anyway, you know, you get this block, it's already pre-drilled, and you've got the options of, you know, taking it to, you know, the finest tools that anyone can have, all the way to pulling out your pocket knife and just kind of
going to town,
just kind of going to town on it. Yeah. And so, and we've had a lot of both, on both of those. So
wasn't it, was it, oh gosh, Jason, is that who I'm thinking of?
Yeah. Jason, Yarbrough, our friend here in Jackson.
Yeah. He actually, I remember watching him with this pipe, because the first time I ever saw one of these blocks was him specifically.
And yeah.
He would bring it into the shop. He'd be smoking his pipe, but at the same time, he would be slowly working on that thing.
That's right.
And I want to say he had a few tools, but it was nothing. I don't want to bash his set or anything.
No. I mean, we're talking, you know, pretty fundamental stuff here, like a chisel and, you know, maybe a couple hammers and, you know, some knives. Like he may have had, I think he had some sandpaper that he used.
But it was really cool because he essentially, it almost looked like a Fabergé egg when it was all said and done, although it had a bit of a spiral thing going around it.
Yeah.
But it was really chunky. Which is not a bad thing. I mean, that's what he was going for.
That's right.
But one of the things I thought about, if I was to ever pick one up, is I'd probably go the same route, just because, man, it would take a lot of work to get all the way down. And I'd almost be concerned that I'd go a little bit too far. You know what I mean?
Because
if you cut too deep in with those grooves as you get closer to the bowl.
Right. Or the airway, for that matter.
Yeah. I mean, you've ruined
it. In some sense, there's not a lot of room for error. But, you know, with the hobby block, the blocks are so big that you're kind of, you're granted enough license to, you know, dig in a little bit if you want to. And I love this, because even now we've got folks that are tweeting in pictures of hobby blocks and of briar blocks that they've worked on themselves. And so that's pretty great. There's a series of steps, you know, that you want to kind of follow it when you're doing a pipe. And so we'll just kind of, again, take this from a, you know, elevated view with broad brush strokes. But typically, you know, whether you bought a block of briar just like it is, like, you know, just literally a chunk of briar, or you bought a hobby block, you know, probably one of the first things you want to do is sketch the image of the pipe you're kind of envisioning on the side of it.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of times people will just dive into a block of briar and, you know, follow the grain, you know, and you can kind of, take a little wet cloth and kind of wipe the side of the briar to see kind of where the grain is going. And of course, as you get into the briar, if it's a real thick piece, like it, you know, it's going to change as you kind of dive into this piece of wood. But, you know, but that'll just kind of give you an idea of what the grain might do. And then as you take your pencil drawing on the side of this, you know, briar, you can kind of get an idea of what the shape might look like.
That's so wild to me, because you see pictures of these pipe carvers, especially on Facebook and Instagram, that will, you know, take pictures along the way. And you know, a lot of these guys at this point are, you know, they've got this custom briar or wherever they're getting it.
Yeah.
But they'll draw on there, and I guess at their level, they're drawing in Sharpie instead of pencil. Or maybe they're just drawing in Sharpie so that they can actually, you know, show the picture and it'll pop up and pop on Facebook and Instagram. But I'm always baffled by the fact that that works for people to actually visualize. And it is such a great kind of almost cheat in order to visualize what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
I you know, to quote to quote Doc Brown, I don't think I could think fourth dimensionally, Mike. You know, like, it's hard for me to imagine how drawing on the square will help me visualize what the three-dimensional shape should be.
Yeah.
You know, it just baffles me.
Well, and part of it, too, is not just visualizing the shape, but also when you're preparing to drill the pipe. You know, if you've got a block of briar that isn't pre-drilled and you want to, you know, you're getting ready to line up the airway with the, you know, smoking chamber and all those things, like, you kind of need to know, well, you really need to know kind of where those, you know, two passageways are going to meet. And so you've got to, you know, it's more than guesswork. You have to do a little geometry there, which is kind of fun. So, by the way, if you are interested in not just getting a hobby block, but also getting, you know, a block of briar that you could even drill completely 100 yourself, a couple of our good friends recommend Vermont Freehand, which is a really well-known pipe carver, you know, kind of supply house. You can find them online. I think it might just be vermontfreehand.org or .com, rather. You've also got the Pipe Makers Emporium. And both of these sites are just really well-known places for anything from not just blocks of briar, but all the drill bits that you might need, buffing wheels, carnauba, you know, wax compounds. And,
sorry, car what now?
Carnauba wax, which we'll actually get to that later in the process. But You know, these are different products that you might, you know, the more you get into making pipes, you would kind of need. And you've got clearinghouses like this online that can supply all that stuff. So, but after you got the shape kind of roughed out, as far as, you know, as far as drawing on the side, then, you know, if you've got the tools available, what you'll want to do is kind of start removing large pieces of material around your general shape. You know, some people will take like a bandsaw to do this, or you know, if you don't have those kind of things, it's going to take a lot of sanding or a lot of chiseling or something like that.
Could you imagine sanding one of those things down all the way?
Yeah. I mean, and people do it, you know.
Yeah, 20 years later, I'm sure it's a great smoke.
Yeah. We had someone just tweet in, you know, they were like, I tried the Hobby Block one time and it gave him a real incredible appreciation for, you know, for artisan pipe makers.
Right,
and you
got
to understand what they're doing here. And also all the investing they've made in legitimate equipment to make this happen. Because, you know, if you're cranking out a bunch of pipes, like, you're not going to sit there and you know, with your chisel and your your hand sandpaper, but anyway, so you've got the option of, you know, kind of removing large amounts of material around kind of the shape that you've drawn out, you know, and at that point you're ready to start drilling. And so you can kind of drill the air draft, the smoke draft that obviously goes into the stem of the pipe. This and meeting up where the bowl is. And again, I've never done this before. We're just taking this from broad brush strokes and from talking to people that have done this before and are regulars at doing it. This is, again, the purpose of this discussion is kind of just to give a new pipe smoker that might be interested in trying to carve their own pipe, like, a basis from which to go.
Entry level overview.
Yeah, absolutely. So you'll take your block of briar. You've got your pipe drawn out. You've removed some material around the general shape, and you kind of rough your shape out. You want your shape to, you know, start taking form. A lot of folks will use belt sanders and some of these kind of things to remove a lot of that material. But then you'll take a drill bit and actually go into the shank of the pipe, and that'll start making your air draft way that goes all the way down. The key here is not going too far,
right?
Because you can puncture through the other side of what's going to become your chamber, and then that'll, you know, kind of ruin the pipe. So what a lot of folks do is they will actually measure how far on the outside of the block that it's going to take to get the drill to go from the end of the block all the way to the bowl. And then they'll mark on their, on the actual drill bit, they'll mark on the drill bit itself.
Oh,
like a line.
Like a line, so that you can see when it's gone, that means you've gone too far.
That's exactly right. So you kind of have a guide to know, like, when to stop there. So, you know, getting that set, and then also, taking a drill bit and, you know, whether you do it on a press or, lathe or whatever, but then going down and making the hole, you know, the chamber of the pipe meet. That's really complicated, but that's, you know, kind of the art of it, right?
Yeah, man.
And if you get it right, you're like, man, that's incredible. It really does give you an appreciation for these artisan pipe makers that consistently crank out perfect pipes.
Yeah. I mean, it is crazy because, I mean, I would think that would be one of the easier things, but you're right. In order to line it up appropriately, if you want a good smoke.
yeah. And it is really important.
Absolutely.
Another thing to keep in mind is not just are you drilling the draft hole, but you're also drilling the mortise. I love the word mortise because it sounds like tortoise. It
sounds like morta and tortoise.
I'm going to buy a tortoise and name it mortise.
I would like a mortise morta pipe and that is in the shape of a tortoise.
That has a large mortise.
Yes.
So you know you've got this mortise hole that you have to drill as well, and the mortise is think of it, you know, as a the part of the, you know, shank where the tenon is going to plug in to the shank there. So you've got a larger mortise hole, and then from that you've got your air passageway, the draft hole that goes on into the pipe. So and typically if you're going to start out making pipes, you'll probably get a pre-mold stem, something that's already been, you know, molded for you. A lot of, you know, artisan pipe carvers, they're going to take a piece of Delrin, which is, you know, what a lot of high-end pipes now use as their tenons, and they'll turn the mortise to, you know, match that rod of Delrin. And then they'll insert the Delrin into a stem of some other media, whether it be, you know, ebonite or acrylic or lucite or whatever. So But anyway, that's just kind of a, you know, broad brushstroke thing on there again. Drilling the chamber, you know, the problem with this for the hobbyist is that a lot of folks use specialized bits for this now. And so, you know, if you are going to get a block of briar where you are going to want to drill the chamber, you know, if you want it to have a nice tapered clean bottom, something that you would find just in a regular pipe bowl, you're probably going to have to go again to one of these supply houses to get a specially made bit for drilling pipes. And they're available. The most common that you'll see is a 3/4 chamber, but a drill, but sometimes you'll see a 7/8 and 1 inch and a bunch of different sizes. Huh. So, yeah. And that's, again, all personal preference. But, you know, after that, you can kind of, you know, continue sanding and shaping your pipe. What a lot of folks don't realize the importance of picking the right stain as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about this. Yeah. Cause do you just, can you just use any stain, or because you're going to be lighting this thing on fire, does that impact your decision?
Yeah, not just that, but you're also, you know, just regularly touching it with really greasy, oily hands.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And because of the heat, and also if any moisture gets on it, it just makes it complicated for, you know, it in just any old stain. So the best option is to use leather dye, and a lot of folks will use you know, a certain brand of leather dye. But these are commonly available online. Again, check out some of these you know, pipe maker you know, supply places that we've suggested. But this leather dye for staining pipes is particularly potent, and it soaks in and it hardens really well, and it dries actually pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And so a lot of folks will let it sit, you know, a little longer to kind of, you know, make sure it gets deep in there. Some folks too, if you want to do like a contrast stain, you could take like a really dark dye and put it on there, and, you know, let that soak in some of those deep grains and then sand all the top layer off.
And
then you'll put that light stain on the top of that. So you kind of have a couple, you know, just so you get a nice contrast there. Again, all this is kind of personal preference, and these are just broad brush strokes again. But, you know, once you get it going like that, you kind of get your pipe, you know, set, and then it's ready to be buffed and polished up and good to go.
Dude, this is making me want to carve my own pipe.
You should, man. Yeah.
Well, but I'm terrible at trying to carve the stuff.
I would like to think I'm relatively good at what you put inside the pipe, but,
yeah, right,
but
right.
I'd be so humiliated by anything that I produced as far as a smoking instrument that I'm probably just going to stick to tobacco.
You know, gosh.
There's something to be said, though, about the... You know, you've gotten into this, you know, hobby that's already got a lot of lore and history about it. There's this romantic element to it, and you know, you've kind of got this the product is and the usage is very intimate with the, you know, with the smoker and all these kind of things. And there's something to be said about actually making your own pipe, which you then regularly use. I mean, that's there's a real powerful connection.
You feel there's a certain sense of satisfaction that one would only assume exists in that scenario. I know too many woodworkers missing fingers, and I mean, there's a lot that obviously aren't, but I would be one of those guys. You know what I mean? Like, it's important to know your strengths, and it's also important to know your weaknesses, especially when it comes to carving.
How did Bo lose a finger with a chisel?
Yeah, I'd find a way.
That's like out of a James Bond movie.
It's like life finds a way, Bo finds a way when it comes to that. Man, good stuff.
Yeah, those are just like we said, general broad brushstrokes. You've got to think about you know, what medium you want to use. You know, are you going to go with a pre-drilled block, or you know, get a block that's already you know, that's not been drilled at all? There are different qualities of those blocks as well. So, do you want to practice on something that's maybe cheaper, and then kind of move up from there? And then you know, you'll talk about, you know, kind of sketching out your pipe, sketching out where the drills are going to go, procuring any kind of special drill bits or anything that you might need for that. And then rocking and rolling from there, whether it be, you know, drilling out the specific parts, you know, sanding it down, making sure it's got the shape that you want, and, you know, applying the stain, and then polishing and buffing.
You know, one way or the other, diving in head first will definitely give you an appreciation for the folks that crank out these pipes.
That make a high-end pipe.
Man, yeah. And it's incredible. You know, even, you know, as I mentioned from the get-go, the first and only time I've ever kind of experimented with carving my own pipe was a corncob pipe.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
I tell you, and it's not just because it was my first time. You know, most corncob pipes, you look at them and you can tell, okay, that's a corncob pipe.
Yeah.
But to see a corncob pipe with a significant amount of quality, when you see that, you already know it's going to be a Missouri Meerschaum pipe.
Absolutely.
You know, Missouri Meerschaum, we've been talking about him for the last couple of episodes, the Legend pipe, which is just absolutely gorgeous, nice medium-sized bowl, beautiful look to it. All of the pipes from Missouri Meerschaum have that level of polish that goes, you would not even believe, like, that's the thing. Like, if you go and you peruse the pipes they have, you would not even believe that you could get that shape from a corn cob pipe. There's just, man, they've got some secret sauce over there. It's really, really great.
Even the finish on the outside of the bowl and how they make the plug-in part of the stem that goes into the chamber there is just all finished really nicely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Especially with the amber acrylic that kind of goes off the end of the pipe. It just makes a nice statement.
We've been getting a lot of great images in of you guys sharing your Legend pipe if you've got one. If you don't, go ahead and buy one and get it in so you can take a picture of it, send it in. We'll retweet those out. So we love Missouri Meerschaum for helping sponsor the show and making this episode happen for you guys.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week comes in from somebody near and dear to the show. Me.
Look at that.
Yeah, I got a question.
Oh, fantastic.
Absolutely, man. We got the Chicago Pipe Show coming up.
Yeah, we sure do.
Here's my question for you. And I mean, this is kind of a question that I ask you not as somebody who goes to pipe shows often, because, you know, honestly, we haven't gone to that many pipe shows.
We haven't, yeah.
This will be our first time going to Chicago, which is the big one. But my question is more from somebody who understands the industry and also sells pipes on a regular basis.
Sure.
I know that when I go to Chicago, I'm going to be dropping some money. The question is, how much money, like, how much should I say, okay, I need X amount of dollars, but I shouldn't go past X amount of dollars.
Yeah, take whatever both those amounts are and give them like an exponent of 3 or 4.
Right.
And then I think you'll be set. Yeah, this is the problem with going to pipe shows, right? Like, and we experienced this some in New Orleans.
Oh, tremendously.
You know, obviously, Chicago is going to be just, you know, multipliers of that. But, you know, you're going to be, you might go into it saying, I'm going to buy one pipe, or I'll find one piece that I like, or I'm not going to buy anything, which is just straight up foolish. But, you know, you're going from 0 to 90 in a very short amount of time. And if you're at a pipe show, you're obviously someone that has a lot of enthusiasm about it, and you're going to find carvers that you connect with. So you'll find beautiful pipes that you want, but also people, real people that you want to support, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I think there's something to be said for that. So, yeah, all I can say, man, is budget generously. Like, I went into New Orleans and was very proud of myself. I only walked away with a couple things, but you know, they were things that I didn't expect to necessarily find.
You're big on the impulse buy.
Yeah.
When you see it and it looks hot, you got to have it.
Yeah, I get a little itch, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good about not doing that too much unless I've been drinking a little bit. But that being said, I will say, going in, I do have one pipe in mind. You know, I think I've said this before, but I want a Meerschaum pipe, and I want a White Rose Meerschaum pipe.
Yeah.
And you know, you see them pop up from here and there, but I need to see it. And I've seen different shapes.
None
of them
have really.
Hold
it and all that.
Thing is, it doesn't even have to be a Meerschaum. If there's like a briar that's like a White Rose, and I feel like a connection to it. Anyway, my goal is to kind of peruse and see if I can find a White Rose pipe or something that I can kind of connect with there.
And my guess is you'll find many other things that you also connect with.
Right, right. But so with that, like, so for something like that, a Meerschaum pipe, probably going to be high end.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much do I need to set aside?
Well, and for Meerschaum, you know, if you're...
Are my kids going to college? That's
if you're
what
getting, No, okay. None of them are anyway. But that's for other reasons. Right. No, I mean, I think, you know, with Meerschaum anyway, if you want a decent Meerschaum pipe, you're going to be spending at least $150.
Right. Oh,
Just for a decent Meerschaum pipe nowadays. People come in and, you know, at the Squire, we don't sell low-end Meerschaum pipes. You can go to the, you know, little cigarette shop down the street here, which, you know, does a lot of great business in that realm, but they've got the little, you know, tiny Meerschaum pipes that are, you know, I guess it's Meerschaum, and they say it's Meerschaum, but we don't sell them here because it, you know.
Yeah, they say it's Meerschaum. I mean, it looks like a clay pipe, smokes like a clay pipe, but they say it's Meerschaum.
They say it's Meerschaum, you know, and it sure looks cute next to those action figures and all that other stuff.
Oh,
but,
man.
But, you know, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you want to buy a legitimate, you know, block Meerschaum pipe that is going to, you know, last you years and be something really that you'll be proud of, you know, you're going to spend at least $150 and go up from there. If it's anything intricate, you'll go well over that. So, I think the thing to keep in mind is, you know, be prepared for the unexpected and just budget up. The one thing you can keep in mind as well, though, is, you know, if you've got some pipes that maybe you don't smoke a lot, or are not, you know, particularly fond of, or maybe they've, you know, kind of had their season, but you kind of left them by the wayside. Like, man, bring those pipes with you, because you can sell those. Like, you can sell those at a pipe show. Huh. You'll find ways and people to meet that, you know, you might want to unload some pipes and maybe make some cash, or maybe build up some credit and trade it for something else. So, you know, it's a real, you know, easy way to kind of, you know, bring some money that you already got sitting on the shelf.
Man, I hate to part with any of my pipes, because
that's, you know, the thing. All your pipes kind of have a story,
really,
and a certain place and a certain function that they fulfill and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I've got so many pipes. No, I could probably bring a few.
You don't care. They're not your children.
And part with a few. Well, so a few of them are. Yeah, a few of them are. Right. But yeah, certainly not all of them.
All right. Well, that's
a good question.
What an excellent non-answer. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So basically, whatever I was planning bringing, just double it and triple it, and there you go.
That's right. That's right.
That'll work.
And bring some stuff that you wouldn't mind trading, maybe.
I love it. Hey, guys, send tons of pipe questions to us, csr@podastery.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire questions.
Bring the heat, baby.
Got one in, some in from Nelson Griffin.
Okay.
All right. Red eye gravy or chocolate gravy?
What is this you speak of?
So this is interesting. I did a Google search for this.
Yeah, I didn't even know what that is.
So, I mean, it's different styles of gravy. As best I can basically define it, is red eye gravy is going to be thinner, whereas chocolate's going to be darker, almost like a roux style gravy.
But we're not talking like made of chocolate.
No. I don't. Just chocolate in terms of style.
Okay. That's just the name of it, maybe?
I suppose. The funny thing is, we live in the South.
We should know these things.
Yeah. I'm not a big gravy guy.
When you say red eye gravy, initially I thought maybe like tomato gravy.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well.
And I love tomato gravy, but I guess this is something different.
Dude, have you ever had, and I'll go ahead and give them some free pub, but have you ever had
Broad Street's
tomato gravy biscuit?
It will make you slap your mama.
Oh my gosh.
It's fine.
Egg over medium.
People from other parts of the country are like, this is disgusting.
I'm surprised you even had it, considering you have to wake up early. You have to wake up before 11 o'clock.
Yeah, no, you do have to. There are only certain times of the day that they serve that.
I had my breakfast. I had my birthday breakfast there 2 years ago, and you like round up there. You're wearing those glasses like you're hungover. Like,
I will be late to my own funeral. Give me a break. I love tomato gravy. I like thick brown gravy though. So I guess if I had to go with the two, I'd go with the chocolate.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
If that's what that means.
That's good. I was going to go with the chocolate just because of the roux, but if red eye is more tomato gravy, then that, there you go.
Yeah.
Butchered that one. Cardinals or Braves?
Cardinals. Yeah. That's a rare pick, I think, in our part of the country.
Not necessarily. Don't forget, in Jackson, Mississippi, we have here the Redbirds, the Jackson Redbirds.
That
which
would
are actually,
be Memphis, actually.
No, Memphis has the M-Braves. No, is it that the other way around?
You definitely have it backwards.
Is that backwards?
Yeah. Memphis is the Redbirds, which is the minor league for the Cardinals. And in Trustmark Park here are the M-Braves.
Yeah, you're right.
That's correct.
So baseball is a thing.
This is a sport, Bo, where they have bases and a pitcher, and you swing this wooden stick object at a ball made of thread.
Ooh, cricket is it? Yes, I've heard of this. that's really sad because I we lived literally two blocks, a block and a half away from the
Redbirds
up in Memphis.
I think it's like AutoZone Park or something.
AutoZone Park, yeah. And but you're right, I got them mixed up. but I stand by it.
You know the best thing about, and we do, of course, have the minor league for the Braves here in Jackson, even though, you know, I would probably pick the Cardinals, but the best thing about having a minor league team in your city is Thirsty Thursdays.
Oh.
Because it's just like,
is that
really
like free beer?
Really cheap, cold beer.
All right.
And you get to see these guys out there just swinging for the fence, you know?
I like to heckle them. I don't even care. I just, you know, because they got a bat, they've got projectiles they could throw at me, but if they do, then all of a sudden I own my own baseball team.
You do.
it's a little Russian roulette.
But, look at that.
No, man. We used to actually go and see the Redbirds quite a bit because you could actually spend like $5 and sit on the grass.
Yeah.
Which was not a bad setup there. I don't know. I'm not a big baseball guy.
Yeah.
If you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
But
there's too many first downs in baseball for you.
Yeah.
Right.
They get a touchdown.
Yeah.
During the halftime
especially,
show.
Especially.
Okay. I can't even say this one, but I'm about to say this one.
Okay. Do it.
Pecan or the other one?
Pecan.
It's pecan.
It's pecan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A pecan is something that you, is a soup can that you urinate in.
Yeah, that it is. Or that's something you tell someone you're trying to potty train.
Yeah.
Like, you pee, you can. You can. but it's a pecan.
It's pecan, not pecan.
Pecan pie.
Pecan pie. Yeah, anything else is just wrong. Barbecue, vinegar-based, or molasses sauce-based?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not as big of a barbecue buff as maybe I should be, but although I love to eat it, but I'd probably have to go with the molasses based.
It depends on what you're cooking.
Yeah,
like it really depends on what you're cooking. I would say 9 times out of 10, I'd probably go vinegar. That's not to bash molasses. I mean, if you're making like some good solid ribs, and I mean, I'm talking about slow roasting those ribs, you probably do want a molasses in that situation, but 9 times out of 10, I'd probably go for the vinegar base.
If I'm not mistaken, vinegar is real popular with kind of the the Carolinas, the style of barbecue I think they do over there. And I think in this part of the world, we tend to have thicker barbecue sauce, but I could be wrong about that.
Barbecue sauce. All right, and then speaking of Carolinas, man, last one, North or South Carolina?
Oh, well, this is no good at all because you immediately offend, like, you know, an entire state.
No, but I mean, at the same time, it's a no-brainer. It's North Carolina.
Is it?
It's North Carolina.
Is it South Carolina?
No, it's North Carolina.
I think it might be South Carolina. No,
it's North Carolina, man. North Carolina is a beautiful, beautiful state.
Well, but so is South Carolina is the Palmetto State.
I wouldn't know. I've never been there. But North Carolina is gorgeous.
I'm just saying South Carolina has Charleston. North Carolina grows more tobacco.
I have been to South Carolina. I have been to Charleston. Charleston's a nice town.
Yeah.
I'm still going to go North Carolina. North Carolina, I kind of visualize like these foresty mountain trails and everything.
Okay. Let's just split even. Look, and hopefully our friends from either state won't be too.
Hey, funny. North Carolina, go on and raise up. Take your shirt off. Twist it around your head. Like a helicopter.
Like a helicopter.
Yeah. Great quick fire questions, Nelson.
Yeah, those were fun. Those in.
If you've got quick fire questions, go ahead and shoot them to us, csr@potastery.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Man, we got some great listener feedback to dive into, but you know, we got to mention our good friends over at Peter Stokeby Luxury Bullseye Flake.
That's right, man. Golly, we've been talking a lot about Luxury Bullseye Flake here at the shop, and it's one of those tobaccos that is just a unique smoking experience because not only does it taste delicious and unique, but even the process of, you know, kind of getting it ready for the bowl is just a real ritual. So it's one of those classic bullseye flakes, one of the pressed tobaccos that we all know and love. And if you haven't had it or, you know, don't have it in your collection, in your cellar, you know, it's definitely a worthy addition and something that you need to add.
Yeah, you know, it's great. We've been saying take some pictures and share them out just because it does have that cool bullseye shape to it.
Yeah.
Good best practices. I mean, bullseye flake is one that's best enjoyed on its own. You can select about 2 to 3 slices. You want to, of course, gently rub them on your hand before filling up your pipe. And if you've had it, if you enjoy it, let us know what you think. We, you know, whenever, especially the tobaccos, we love getting your feedback in terms of what do you like, what do you not like. I think that's, you know, it's not taste. There's no accounting for taste. And yet we want to account for everyone's taste.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let us know what you're thinking. If you're enjoying it, be sure to take some pictures, tweet them into us. We'll retweet those out.
It's such a special tobacco because of the Cavendish that's in the bullseye of this thing. And a lot of non-aromatic smokers, they hear the word Cavendish and they immediately bristle. But you've got to think about, you know, Cavendish is just a process that tobaccos go under. A lot of Cavendishes are flavored. And so you get aromatics out of that. But you know, this is Cavendish that is real clean and natural, and mixed with the Virginias and Burleys, it just really comes to life in the Luxury Bullseye Flake.
We got some listener feedback in from Ralph Burns, who actually commented on last week's video over on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about Kamoy. I named that episode Kamoy Meets World.
Which is very, very good.
Thank you.
I was pleased.
Look, we've had, you know, there's some moments, there's some episodes that, like, after the fact, the names kind of hit me.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, man. So good. I'll pat myself on the back.
Epiphany.
That was good. He says, yes, I do remember Kamoy pipes in my younger days, right out of high school and on to college. In early 70s, I bought 2. I was attracted to the clear lucite stems that they had on some. So did GBD.
That's right.
GBD?
Yep, GBD.
GBD. They were being overshadowed by the Ben Wade style of pipes back then. So later I saw less and less of the Kamoy brand.
Yeah. Kamoy, again, if you didn't listen to that show and want to get kind of a good idea of some pipe history and a brand name that's just, you know, a very important brand name in the history of pipes, be sure to check out that episode, Kamoy Meets World. But that was kind of from that era where the Ben Wade, Preben Holm era, big gnarly looking Danish freehands, were kind of so popular then. But you've always got folks that want to turn to those simple British style pipes, and I probably personally fall into that camp as well. And Kamoys from that era are just fantastic. This one is from iTunes and is from Mango Andy. He says, "Even the kids like it. Great job on the show, guys. Your content is great. I love the different topics and appreciate each of your mini segments within the show. My kids love to listen for you. My kids love to listen for who you will include each time you talk about Heroes of the Bowl. They keep looking for mention of the creator of the 100-acre wood." Interesting.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Did we do that?
Recently, we did the Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, we did. Yeah. So this may have come in before this person, listened to Mango Andy, listened to it. But he said, "I've rediscovered my love for pipe smoking, and like a lot of things in life, I can see, smell, and taste the glory of God in a well-blended tobacco smoked in my favorite pipe. Love you guys that connect those dots so well. On a side note, as a fellow podcaster, I care about quality, and your production quality is fantastic. Thanks for a great show." Hey, good shout out, man.
I'll tell you,
Bo, we are very pleased with your production quality.
Well,
I was about to say, do you need to take your shirt off and spin it around like a helicopter? But
nobody wants to see that.
Don't do that.
No.
I still haven't eaten tonight. We have to get through the next couple hours.
When we get that kind of feedback and people mention just the quality of the podcast, I can't tell you how much that means to me, because, you know, right, every single week I have the honor of standing next to and spending some time on mic with one of the great tobacconists in this country. And somebody,
I'm blushing.
Somebody who puts a lot of time and quality and care into his products that at this point, almost everybody, if you haven't, then you should, but most everybody who's listened to this has been able to enjoy your craftsmanship.
Thank you.
I try to, if I can put even a fraction of the care and consideration into the quality of this podcast that you put into your products, man, then I take that as a win. So anytime
Thanks,
you guys make mention means a lot.
I think it stands out, man. We're really proud of our podcast.
Yes, sir.
We're proud of our humility too.
Yeah, we are so freaking humble.
Our humility is better than other people's.
We're
humility.
Probably the most humble people I know. We could probably put the Apostle Paul in his place. That's just how humble we are.
I'm more humble than you.
You know, I humbly would doubt that. Well, man, we do enjoy doing the podcast. We actually enjoy doing it live here at CountrySquireRadio.com every single Monday night. We'd love for you guys to tune in and be part of the conversation. We've had so many people tweet in during this episode.
Yeah, it's been a good one.
Sending in pictures of their pipes that they've been carving, which has been awesome. If you want to be part of the conversation, part of the live experience, you can join us. Again, it's CountrySquireRadio.com at 6:30 p.m. Central Time on Monday nights, 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. We also want to encourage you to engage with us throughout the week. You can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/CountrySquireRadio. You can follow us on Twitter. Personally, I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop @_CountrySquire.
And of course, the Twitter handle for the show is @SquireRadio. All that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Man, this was a fun episode.
I had a good time. Yeah, a lot of interaction with the live audience too, which is always always pretty special. But
I'm so inspired by some of the work that people have been sending in.
Yeah, I see this stuff, and people are like, they're sending this stuff, and they're like, well, it's my first pipe, it's so-so, and I'm like, I could never do that.
No, it's incredible.
But you think, like, you know, I think this is motivation for me just to appreciate that and maybe stick to the tobacco.
That's good. Yeah.
Find artisan made pipes by John David Cole that you can immediately take in your backyard, burn, and bury.
Like I said, it's knowing about your strengths, knowing about your weaknesses, which really means know your place.
Yeah, just know your place, right?
All right, man. Well, let's have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.